Welcome to Radio Labyrinth's very first movie club episode with Tim and Autumn. Autumn thinks this song is Paul Simon.
No, I don't think it's Paul Simon. It reminded me.
It's not Paul Simon. Oh, but why? Because there's Africans?
Because of the, that Paul Simon album, right. Nashville or something.
Well, this is
Graceland.
This is the very beginning of Coming to America, a movie that came out in 1988, directed by John Landis, starring Eddie Murphy, Arsenio Hall. Those are the two mains. And you also have John Amos, and of course the great actor that I can't think of his name.
Who?
The dad.
Eric LaSalle?
No, James Earl Jones. Now, this intro for the film is a Paramount movie. It was the very first time the camera zoomed into the Paramount logo and then went over the mountain and showed you this really cool, I don't know if it's an animation or a painting or what, but you got to think 1988, the technology wasn't the same as it is now, so who knows how they did it, but it's amazing. We'll have to look into that. You know, as we grow with these and get better at doing them, we're going to look at more of this kind of stuff. Oh,
yeah,
Samuel,
this is
go
our
ahead.
First one.
Yeah.
So.
This is one of my favorite movies. I loved Eddie Murphy going back to the 1980s. I loved Eddie Murphy, on Saturday Night Live. And then I guess his first breakout movie was 48 Hours with Nick Nolte. And then after that movie, I think you had a really shitty one that he did with Dudley Moore called Best Defense.
Ooh.
You ever see that awful movie?
I know it. I have not. I don't think I've seen it.
It's not worth your time or effort. Yeah. And I don't even think they worked together on it. Eddie Murphy was just in it. And then, of course, Trading Places came out.
When was Beverly Hills Cop?
I think 1984. 1984, for sure. God, that's a long time ago. You know what? I'll bring up IMDb.
Okay.
You tell people what we're going to do today.
We're just going to talk about the movie. I wrote, scene by scene notes, and we don't have to go through it scene by scene, but there's just little things in this movie. I think because most of us obviously have probably seen this movie.
Mm-hmm.
There are just little things that surprise me, especially when it's something you've seen so many times and you feel like it's just part of the fabric of who you are,
right?
Really, that you get to watch it with sort of different eyes because you're not really watching it to get the story or
no, you're watching it when you and I watched it this previous week. We're watching it looking for things and paying closer attention to it than we have in the past. I saw it in the theater in 1988 with our other co-host, Jeff Lieboff. It was the summer of 88 or the year of 88 was when we went to the movies and saw every single thing at the Cineplex. And we're talking back in the day, there were 8 movies playing and it was a big deal.
Wow.
A very, very big deal. And to get back to what we were talking about a few minutes ago, so I'll just do it in order. Eddie Murphy's first movie, 48 Hours, then Trading Places, then Best Defense, which is crap. Beverly Hills Cop came out in 84, and then he had 2 years off. The Golden Child came out. Do you remember that movie?
I loved The Golden
Child.
I did,
too. A lot of people did not like it, but it was a good movie.
Loved it. It was kind of gross.
Yeah, it was, but it was cool.
It was weird and dark and 80s weirdness,
yes,
but I liked it.
With that, a lot of Asian mysticism in the 80s.
Yeah. So that I think that lady had like those long fingernail things.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She was really hot, too, the lady that came to find him.
Oh, didn't she have boobs out?
I don't know. I probably
miss boobs in movies.
Boobs in movies for no reason other than their boobs is great.
Mm-hmm.
Beverly Hills Cop 2 was also a good movie, I thought. Mm-hmm. Beverly Hills Cop 3 sucked, but that came out in 87. Coming to America, 1988. Eddie Murphy co-wrote the movie with a couple of dudes. And
a couple of dudes.
Well, there are a couple of dudes, and there's a lawsuit surrounding that, which we'll talk about at some point during this show. And then after Coming to America, it was kind of it was just kind of a whoosh for him. We're talking about almost 10 years of flops. Harlem Nights, which wasn't a bad film. You had him in that film. You also had Richard Pryor and Red Fox. Another 48 Hours came out in 98. It was all right. I'm sorry, 1990. Boomerang. The Distinguished Gentleman was good. I like that one. Beverly Hills Cop 3, absolutely no budget, totally crap. Vampire in Brooklyn, and then finally he resuscitates his career with The Nutty Professor. So,
did you like Nutty Professor?
I did like Nutty Professor, but I like the original, and I like that one as well.
I had no interest in that movie at all.
You didn't? Have you ever seen it?
No.
You've never seen The Nutty Professor?
No, I know the things like Hercules, Hercules, but
that's,
I don't know.
If have you ever seen the original Nutty Professor?
No, with a Glavin.
Well, okay. With Jerry Lewis, yes.
Jerry Lewis.
No, you've never seen it?
Nope.
Mrs. Purdy, I would like to talk to you about maybe sometime.
That movie, the pacing in it isn't the same as an 80s or a 90s film, of course. But the genius behind Jerry Lewis when that film came out was he was making a point. Is just to be yourself. That's the theme of The Nutty Professor. Be yourself and people will like you for who you are. But what Jerry Lewis did was he did a Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis movie without Dean Martin. And that's essentially what it was. The professor is a dope and a klutz. And then when he becomes Buddy Love, he is, you know, good with the chicks and basically playing that Dean Martin role. Now, he produced the Eddie Murphy version and gave his blessing to do it because Jerry Lewis loved Eddie Murphy and Eddie Murphy loves Jerry Lewis. So that point I was making with Eddie Murphy taking the mantle from Jerry Lewis, what happened is Jerry Lewis made all these great films, these classic films, and defined the style for how to do a comedy film where the main character is the fuck up. And he basically created that genre. He designed sets, he directed them, he did everything. And I think that, like I said, that mantle was passed to Eddie Murphy, certainly in the 80s. And then it went to Adam Sandler, who, you know, they kind of do the same thing. They create these stories, fish out of water. The guy's a moron, but he's lovable. So that was the point I was trying to make. So when you open the film, what happens when we open the film?
Well, he wakes up to actual musicians who definitely look like they're playing those instruments.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was funny that Oha, his sort of manservant, goes to a full stereo system, but doesn't do anything, but then claps for the people to wake him up, the musicians. Right. We get to just see how rich and royal and pampered he is because he asks to go to the bathroom by himself. And they don't let him and he claps, you know, his manservant claps for wipers. We find out it's his 21st birthday.
Yes.
And then we get to see boobs movie.
Those girls are gorgeous. One of them was a Playboy model.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So yeah, she emerges from the water. The royal penis is clean, Your Highness.
Yes.
Which I always enjoyed as a kid.
Yeah, that's a funny line.
What was she doing down there?
What do you mean? What was she doing? Well, I don't know. Well, can you do that underwater? Can you? You got to breathe every now and then.
I don't think she was. There wasn't something sexual going on.
Oh, what was she do?
She's cleaning it.
Cleaning it underneath the water, right?
Yeah.
I could look up the name of the Playboy model, but I'm blocked from it here at this where we work. So.
Oh gosh.
Dang it! Dang it!
I can't do it and do the thing.
No, I can't do it either. Be talk about some bitch.
So, okay. Here's my question about the royalty. Now, is the royalty in this movie, is their whole structure based on a European model, or is it something that they went ahead and said, let's just create something new? Because obviously our idea as white Westerners from the Christian West is to envision a court, a queen, a lady-in-waiting, and all that kind of stuff. And that's kind of what you have here.
Right.
So you
think that's the British influence on their on Zamunda?
No, I don't even know. I think their whole goal with creating the Kingdom of Zamunda was to just say, we were never colonized. This is us. And frankly, you know, for all the hype that's been swimming around Black Panther and blah 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 blah, this is the same thing. Except for
interesting,
you know, you look at the cast. The entire cast is African American, for the most part, and they're a happy kingdom, and they don't live in isolation because people know who he is when he comes to the United States. You know, when his dad comes to the United States later in the movie, they have Secret Service that you'll see later in the film. Mm-hmm. But that's just a question I had while I was watching. It's like, okay, they made a huge deal about Black Panther and Wakanda, but you know, Zamunda looks like a pretty cool place.
Yeah, I don't even know if they were putting anything into that, right? I don't think that they were putting a lot of thought. It was just to say, we need to be royal because I need to be a fish out of water.
Right.
But, I mean, maybe if you want to think about what that may look like to a little kid who's maybe a black kid and thinking, well, if they're living in some crappy neighborhood with crappy people around them, they could be like, well, this is my future.
Like Queens?
Maybe like Queens. Maybe they could see like a successful business owner like Mr. McDowell.
Yes.
And Lisa.
These are all these are all tropes I want to get to as we go through the film, because, you know, I'm thinking, and I'm trying to think from a 2019 point of view,
right?
And all these years, because what now? It's 30 years since this movie came out, 31 years, and you look back now. Were they positioning him as being a white person or just a successful person? See, because we see everything now as race. Back then, you didn't see it as race. You weren't,
and it's more successful, really,
yes,
because there wasn't as many hands in it to create the fake.
It was just a manufactured
feeling versus a just natural feeling.
Right, like they weren't bean counting and let's make sure we have enough of this and enough of that. And
let's make sure Akeem, you know, talks to a little boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But here in my country, we need global warming. No, none of that's in there. I think that's why it's such a good film and why people still like it.
Interesting. I never thought of it that way.
Go ahead.
He talks to his parents. We get to see that even though they are royalty and there's a lot of opulence around them, Akeem wants to spread his wings and do things on his own. His dad doesn't understand. And we find out also that he's arranged to be married, and so he's going to meet his wife. His parents were also in an arranged marriage, and they love each other, which is really interesting. I heard, you know, because people still do arranged marriages, especially like in Indian cultures. And I heard a fun analogy that people who marry for love, it's like having boiling water and setting it on the stove, and then it cools over time.
Okay.
Versus an arranged marriage, which is putting a cold pot on the stove and you slowly roll it to a boil.
Okay.
And so that seems maybe more long lasting, right? Because you get to know each other. However, I mean, that's a nice thought, but in practice, it may not work out so well. But I guess it's all about your definition of what your life is and what love could be and what love is.
Well, you know, I would think that sometimes it might be easier if everything was arranged.
Well, and I think people get real mixed up in what love and what long-term love looks like.
Yeah.
I think a lot of things are a choice. You're going to choose to, at first, it's real easy to be with the person because, you know, nothing they do bothers you, or things that will eventually bother the shit out of you are just like adorable little things. Oh, she leaves her socks on the floor. It's so cute.
Yes.
But eventually, like, get your fucking socks off the floor. And you have to choose to continue your life with that person.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say anybody who's being abused, that's not what we're talking about. But, yeah, so I just thought that was interesting when they were talking about that. But I do agree, Akeem should go and sow his royal oats, but also
Is going to sow his royal oats.
Yes. He wants to go and find his queen in America.
And
And with the dance scene.
Yes.
Before the wedding, or before he meets the lady.
Uh-huh. That was fun, wasn't it?
No.
You don't like it?
No, I love it.
Oh, okay, good.
I love it. It's so long and intricate and complicated. There's a lot of shots. I wonder how many days or weeks it took to shoot that. And not just to shoot it, but to get the dancers together, choreograph it for this movie?
Yeah.
They put a lot into this movie. Just like what you said at the beginning with the zooming in over the jungle, like, they didn't have to do that.
No.
But they did. And even the fact that like John Amos is in this, John Amos is a fantastic actor.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of details in this movie that were seem very hand curated or handled carefully.
Right.
And in a movie that's like this, which could have just been like a throwaway comedy, silly thing. I think that's why it has so much heart, is because they took their time with it and really put in the effort to make it like a real movie and not just we're, you know, comedians and we're being funny and look at all this silly thing. And but then they also had fun things like the boobs for no reason in the beginning, you know?
Right. Well, that's because they need to get the R rating and they want to get teenagers in the film.
And then the Oha sings, "She's your queen to be." So silly.
I know it is.
Love it.
It is great. You know that during the production of the film, Landis and Eddie Murphy didn't get along. And it was really weird because Eddie Murphy, when he did Trading Places, Eddie Murphy, he said it was cool. But then when they did Coming to America, he had such a big head, he was a prick.
Oh, man.
It's because you were talking about the, now I'm trying to think. What were you talking about? Oh, the production value, and how hard it was to do the this kind of production. So anyway, go ahead. Sorry, I'm babbling.
No, you're not babbling. Let's see.
Oh, by the way, the people who did The Lion Sleeps Tonight at the beginning was Ladysmith Black Mambazo. And the song is, it's the original. The Mbube is the name of the song.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that. But okay, so I want to know, did they hire that guy to sing that song like that? Did they have the idea of him singing? I feel like that would be a hard thing to write in the script.
It sounds like something that they just threw up.
Yeah, that's so fun.
Like shit happened throughout the entire film, I think, that that made that happen.
Sure. Like improv-y moments.
Yeah. Well, Eddie Murphy going, "Why don't we do this? Why don't we do this? Why don't we do this?" So.
Yeah, love him. We get to meet the queen, or the, you know, his queen to be.
Yes.
She does whatever he likes. She has no thoughts or, you know, emotions of her own. It's only whatever you like.
Mm-hmm.
So then he and his dad go on that walk. He expresses to him that he wants to go and find his queen. They decide to go to Queens because that makes the most sense.
Right.
To find your queen. The cat. Okay, so they're in New York. They're walking through the airport, and he's like, "I just want to be a normal person. No one will know that I'm royalty."
They have 8,000 bags.
Yeah, he has all the bags.
Yes.
The cab driver, is he someone? Is he a comedian?
He was, he was in an app. Shit. He was an actor, and back in the 80s, God, I'm trying to think of somebody that he would, who he would be now, but he was a fitness instructor. So,
Bodies by Jake?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Jake Steinfeld is his name, but he did.
Thank you.
Body by Jake, yeah. You're welcome.
Oh, my God, it's amazing. What does dumb fuck mean?
Yeah, what does dumb fuck mean?
Another reason why I'm excited for watching these movies again is because we're watching the unedited versions.
Yes.
And I haven't seen these maybe since the first time I've ever seen it.
Right. It used to be on Comedy Central all the time, and it's always censored. So
love it.
Yeah, but it is weird. Body by Jake. Go ahead.
That's amazing. They get to Queens. And he talks about finding garbage on the streets. Imagine a country so free one can throw glass on the streets. we get to meet the barbershop guys, and there's Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yes.
Being a cute little guy. Doesn't get any, you know,
no
sag
lines,
or
but he
after.
Smiles. Yep. No lines, but he smiles.
I loved that he was pretending to cut his hair. He was just like cutting above his head.
Yes.
And then we see sort of behind Akeem and Semi that everyone's stealing all their bags that they left outside.
Right.
So then he's looking for MEGA accommodations at this horrible place. I love this landlord.
Frankie Faison is the actor's name.
Love him. Not Donald Faison's dad.
He's not?
Nope. I looked it up.
Oh, okay. Frankie Faison, though, you recognize him from. Mostly, I think people would know him from Silence of the Lambs. He was he was the orderly that let Clarice in the first in subsequent times.
That's right.
And he's also in that awful sequel with what's her face, the red hair, Julianne Moore.
Yes.
And
no one, those aren't real. No. I don't think about those as Silence of the Lambs.
But they are canon. And Frankie Faison is also in most recently in a series called Banshee, which was on Cinemax. That was a pretty good show, but a lot of people know him from The Wire, where he played the chief of police.
Okay. Your rent's due, motherfucker.
Yeah, I love that. He's so great. He's so young in this.
You conscious?
Yes. It's a shame what happened to that dog.
Yeah.
Now, what's so the actual line? What does he say? He's showing them the apartment, and there's a chalk outline of a body and then a dead dog.
And, oh, damn, shame what they did to that dog.
Yeah, he goes, do you have any place that's really... Yeah, that's real fucked up.
Yeah, no, it's real fucked up.
Yeah, you're going to love it. And that's when you said Sammy breaks the fourth wall. You put that in
your notes. Yeah, second time.
Yes.
First time is when Akeem meets his bride to be.
Mm-hmm.
He asks her to bark like a dog, and he just looks at the camera. There's a lot of cuts to the camera in this movie, which is fun.
I think that is a Landis thing because that happens in Trading Places.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Look at me, he says.
What did you think of Arsenio Hall in this role?
Love it.
Me too.
Kind of understated.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing.
What?
That in this movie, people could have really taken it to just, like, Mr. McDowell could have been sillier.
Right.
Semi surely had the room to be sillier. But he was low key and very, I think, attached and grounded to his character.
Well, Arsenio Hall and Eddie Murphy got to be silly when they played other people, too.
Right. Maybe that's it. Maybe they had the room to be silly. Yeah. Okay. They walk outside. Everyone is walking around the streets in their stolen clothes. That guy tries to sell him
toothbrush.
All the gold toothbrushes and stuff.
Thief. Thief.
Yeah. Semi hates this. Akeem loves it. He loves the feeling of sort of being down within normal society, but Semi hates it.
Yeah. Semi likes his opulence.
Right. They have to go and buy clothes so they look like New Yorkers. And they are wearing those big puffy jackets.
Right. Yeah. Oh, they walk out of one of those bodega stores with all the crap. You know, every time I go to New York, and it's in the winter, I forget a winter hat. And I always go in one of those things and get a hat.
We get to hear the soul glow.
For the first time.
Yep. Do we have audio we're going to play?
I just played the intro. I could try to find the Soul Glow commercial. Keep talking.
All right. Or I could just sing it for you.
Go ahead.
How does it just?
Well, if you don't know it.
Well,
hang
I feel
on.
Like there's
hang
words.
On. I got
feeling
it.
All so silky smooth.
What is it? It's Jerry Curl is the name of the stuff, right?
Jerry Curl. Is it Jerry?
You know, you can be all the things you've always wanted to be. Beautiful.
I always felt like that guy looked like
sexy,
OJ.
Yeah.
Easy as 1, 2, 3. Just let your soul glow. Just let it shine through. Just let your soul glow.
This is Eddie making fun of culture. You know what I mean? This is totally making fun of it. And later in the film, you see, you know, the mom and dad and the kid and all the grease in their hair.
When they get up from the seat
the
and
couch,
it's all saturated in the back of the couch.
At the McDowell's house, yeah.
Love
so
that.
So many quotable moments from this movie. That's one of them. Soul Glow, and then more later on as we get through it.
So they go back into the barbershop. He wants to cut off his princely lock, but we get to hear the conversation about boxing. There's a lot of boxing conversations.
Yes.
He's like, he beat Joe Louis's ass. Yeah.
Every time something happens, they want to bring up Rocky Marciano. Rocky Marciano, Rocky Marciano.
Rocky Marciano gets older and older as he goes, like, Rocky Marciano was, you know,
Joe Louis was
157 years old.
137 years old when he fought him. You ain't never met no Frank Sinatra.
That's right.
Well, fuck you, and fuck you. Who's next?
That's right. He wants to cut off his princely lock. He's been growing it since he was a baby. That'll be $8.
Yes. Yeah. What kind of product you got in here? Nothing, only juice and berries.
No. That's some sort of Niagara perm.
Yeah, he's like, hey, none but ultra perm.
Yeah, that ain't none but ultra perm. That'll be $8.
So he's like, all right, you know, Semi comes now. It's time to meet your queen. So then they go to the club, which was one of my favorites.
Hang on 1 second. The barbershop, the Eddie Murphy guy, the one that Eddie Murphy's playing, the not the Jewish guy, but the older guy in the barbershop, he gives Eddie Akeem the best advice throughout the entire film.
Sure.
But we'll get to that. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love this scene a lot, too. In fact, I made a note before you get to it. Could they get away with doing that kind of thing in a modern film? because all these are stereotypes of women from the 80s. And again, you're seeing Eddie Murphy, who wrote it, and so there are stereotypes of white and black women from that era. And I wasn't dating in 1987, 88. Mm-hmm. Well, I was, but not women. So, wait a minute.
What?
Hang on, back up. I was dating girls my own age, not established women. Moving on, go ahead.
Women, you were dating girls.
Girls, yes.
Girls.
But this club scene is so hilarious.
Yes, I want to go through each one.
Go ahead.
So the first one is the lady who looks pretty normal.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I've got a secret. I worship the devil.
Yeah.
And then this lady's like, see, that's the problem. I can't find a man that can satisfy me. She does a lot of talking. A real man's got to put in overtime to get me off.
Some guys will go for an hour.
Hour and a half. Yeah.
hour and a half. But I need a man who can get me off.
And then the big, or no, she's like real stuck up. I'm only interested in a guy if he drives a BMW.
Mm-hmm.
And then this lady who's kind of trashy. Yeah, well, you know, baby, I'm almost single. My husband's on death row. and then the two twins.
Yes, the creepy
twins.
This
is the first date Teresa and I have been on since the doctor separated us.
And then the slutty one.
I'm into the group thing.
Semi like that.
Yeah, semi likes it.
Yep.
And then the lady burning her own hand. I was Joan of Arc in my former life.
Mm-hmm. See ya.
Oh, and then these two.
The rappers. Salt
my
and
name
Peppa.
Is Peaches, and I'm the best. All the DJs want to feel my breasts.
Yep.
Ew.
That is total 80s right there.
I love them.
Yep.
And then this chick who kind of reminds me of my cousin. She does a lot of talking.
What do you mean?
Well, I want to work in videos, but then I want to, you know, direct my own videos and star my own videos and make my own songs and produce my own songs. And they're falling asleep. And then the pièce de résistance, Arsenio in drag.
Yep.
Reacting to his own self in drag, which I love looking at scenes like this when you know the other character's trying not to laugh.
Oh, and Eddie Murphy is almost about to lose it.
Yes. I hope you don't mind me coming over. Especially he wasn't even trying to like be feminine.
Right. I hope you don't mind me coming over. I want to tear you apart.
I want to tear you apart.
And your friend too.
And your friend too.
And then we get to the scene where I just mentioned a few minutes ago, Clarence gives him some advice.
That's right. He says that they've been to the bars, and so Clarence says, "You know, you don't need to. You're not going to meet any good women in a bar." He says, "Go to the library. You find a good woman there. There's a good woman in there."
Yep.
And then says to come to the Black Awareness Rally
at church. But first, he says, "Come to church. You got to go to church."
Oh yeah, you got to go to church.
Yeah. So
right, and then we get to have the more fun characters. All the barbershop guys are there.
Yep.
Arsenio's being the preacher.
He good.
Yeah.
Arsenio.
Well, that's later. That's,
I know,
that's,
I know, I know.
Yeah. But yeah, we get to see all those guys are still there. Akeem is getting used to like the church sort of gospel thing. Like, mm-hmm. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have not. Ha.
Yeah, they're
in a church and then they're having a bikini contest for
Yes, only the Lord.
Yeah. The Lord, the Hugh Hefner. Ha!
And I love how they all have fake teeth in when they're doing those characters.
Yeah, they do. They looked good.
I know. That was the first movie you saw anything like that.
What do you mean?
That was the first movie where you saw things like that, where Eddie Murphy is interacting with himself as characters.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I liked, there was something that he does, which a lot of black people do. And I was going to say, it's also like a Southern thing where people go,
That is a Southern. It's mostly Southern, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I feel, and that's one of those things where I feel like, and this is getting into a different topic, but I feel like I don't have a culture. And so anytime I see something that seems like from another culture, it's like I want to adopt it or I wish I could get away with it, but I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go for real, like, because it's not me.
Well,
but
if
I wish
it's not
I had
you,
something like
you wouldn't
that.
Do it. But
I know, but I wish I, and like sometimes when I'm around people who aren't from the South, I wish I had a Southern accent so that I could sound Southern.
Why don't you do it? I do one when I'm around people.
Do you?
Yeah.
One time I was getting allergy shots when I was a kid. My dad had brought me. And when I left to get the shots, when I came back in, he was talking to this like old man in overalls. And he had a real man, big Southern accent, blah, blah, blah. And my dad was talking like that with him.
Yeah.
And I thought, is my dad like in the CIA? What's going on? Why is he talking like that? So when we left, I said, why did you talk like that to that guy? He said, oh, was I? I can't help it. I just mimic an accent sometimes.
Well, that's
and I do
me.
That too.
I do that too.
Yeah, I do that too.
And I don't know where I got it from because, I don't know, no one in my family is really like that.
I think it's because we can do accents.
Yeah.
And so I think it's almost like a way to feel like to put the other person off their guard. Like they don't have to worry. We're both the same. And so it's like a comforting
right.
sort of thing. I don't know. All right. We get to meet Mr. McDowell and his
wow,
two.
Before Randy, you Ooh, skipped over.
I'm so sorry. Sexual chocolate.
Hang on.
I am so sorry.
Randy Watson. Yes. Randy Watson.
I love the crowd. They're not clapping at all.
They're not into it.
Yeah, boy, good
and terrible.
Good and terrible.
Now, I don't know.
Reverend Brown.
Who's this supposed to be based on? He's like a wonky eye.
Since I was a little boy, and I love him dearly. You're a very special man. Reverend Brown.
If you look close, he has a wonky Reverend eye, Brown. And he's fat. He's wearing like an Elvis jumpsuit.
It feels so lovely to be here tonight. What a beautiful eye. Give yourselves a round of applause. You're so lovely. Everyone's so lovely.
Maybe he was getting the makeup. He was like, give me a weird eye.
Clapping yeah. mood, I'd like to give a big round of applause to my band, Sexual Chocolate.
Don't you agree?
Sexual Chocolate. They play so fine, don't you agree? I believe the children are our future. Thank you. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they
I can't not laugh at that eye.
Give them a Everyone starts shifting in their seats.
Well, everybody's bored out of their minds.
Yeah.
Oh,
some of the good stuff, right?
Now we meet
That's,
Mr.
I love
Miguel.
That. Some of the good stuff.
Yeah.
Enjoying the show? Sorry. Okay.
All right, now I'll put it down.
Yeah, so we get to see Mr. McDowell. We get to see...
Louis Anderson.
What's the daughter's name?
Oh, his the younger daughter?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... God, what is her name? She did a lot of acting after that as well.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. McDowell,
I loved her.
McDowell. Oh, no, I don't know if she did. Allison Dean is the actress, and it's Patrice.
Patrice, that's right.
Yes.
So... we get to meet them. She goes on stage. She's asking for donations for something. What is she asking for donations for? Something, you know, nice.
What's for the kids?
Was it for kids? The future, the kids, because they're the future.
Right. The whole event is for kids, black youth.
Right. So I think, so the preacher really riles up the crowd. They're all into it. And then Randy Watson comes on and everyone sort of dies back down. But then Lisa gets this, you know, huge round of applause after passing around the basket, how she wants change that jingles, but she'd rather get the kind that folds.
Yes.
So people are donating, but then we get to see Lisa's boyfriend. Eric LaSalle,
mm-hmm.
not donate any money.
Yeah,
he just
totally,
passes the basket.
Yep.
But what does Akeem do? He puts his whole billfold in there. Because he's a good guy.
Puts a lot of money in there.
Yeah.
And then she ends up thinking it's him.
Oh, that's later.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So then they find out who they are. Akeem and Semi go get jobs at McDowell's, where we get to meet Louis Anderson.
Someday I hope to be.
That's later.
I know.
See, I'm washing lettuce.
Yes. Someday. Louis Anderson was great in that.
He was.
He must have been friends with Eddie. I mean, because
yeah,
that's just a throwaway role. Yeah.
Yeah. Akeem doesn't know how to mop.
Yeah.
We get to see Lisa at an old-ass computer with a great-sounding keyboard.
The kind that had the springs in the keys.
Yes.
Ting, 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 ting. Yeah, I love
chunk,
that.
Chunk, 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 chunk.
It actually feels like you're doing something.
Yes, I love that. I would 100% replace my current click, 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 click keyboard with a chunk, 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 chunk.
Yep, I want the old.
Yeah.
When you think Akeem, of garbage, think of Akeem.
That's right. He's trying to think of a reason to talk to her and to keep.
Isn't that when he's mopping back and forth in front of her door?
Mm-hmm.
Come on in. Okay.
Yeah. He said, do you have any trash? Nope, still empty. So then we, Eric LaSalle comes in. He is, I don't know whether it's coming from the car, but he's like blasting Soul Glow.
Yeah, the song.
Right. Because he's the
It's not blasting from the car. It's okay. It's just in the music movie. To tell you who he is, moving the story along.
Okay. Doesn't he like lick his fingers to smooth out his mustache?
Yep.
Blech.
Yep.
Do people do that? Do people with mustaches really do that?
I don't know. I used to have a boss who would lick her fingers to smooth out her eyebrows.
I feel like that's just a thing that you see people do. I don't think that people really do that.
I saw her do it every day.
No, I mean, I'm saying, did she do it like for a reason? Like,
I don't know. She'd lick her finger and then wipe her eyebrows down.
Ew.
Yep. I'm not going to say who it was.
Say her name and her last four digits of her social.
I don't know her social security number.
You do?
No, I don't.
Okay. I know all my ex-girlfriend's social security.
She wasn't my girlfriend. She was my boss.
I heard you say girlfriend.
Mm.
Lisa thinks that Daryl donated the large sum of money. And he lets her think that.
Of course, because he's a scumbag.
He's a scumbag. We get to find out he's a scumbag. He gets a milkshake and says goodbye to Akeem and Semi while they're changing out the trash. And he throws the milkshake at him. It spills all over Akeem.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Akeem.
I know. Hey, take care of this for me, buddy.
Yep.
Did it look like a strawberry milkshake? Because that's what he ordered. That's... But it didn't look like a strawberry milkshake when it hit his jacket.
Oh, interesting. Forensics. Yeah. Conspiracy theory.
Yes. Or just bad editing.
Yeah.
Continuity problems.
We're back at the barbershop, and Clarence is telling the story of running into Dr. Martin Luther the King.
You ain't never met no Martin Luther the King.
he is giving more advice that you're talking about, where uh-huh. You have to go through the dad. You have to go through the papa
yep.
to get the girl.
Hang on. I'm going to play that scene because it's just so good. Do you mind?
Yeah, it is good.
Now let's pretend. Hopefully YouTube.
Need to keep things fresh.
Fuck you, YouTube. I hate it. You know.
You should log in with mine because I have. Do you use the premium YouTube?
Here we go. No.
Excuse me.
Hey, it's Kunta Kinte.
First, you'd never be able to do that now.
Yeah.
He doesn't get it. Can you make me look like this?
Can you make my hair look like this?
Oh, man, what you want to make your hair look like that for? Well, I like the way you wear your hair. Wear it natural. That's good, man. You know, I wish more of the young children today would wear their hair natural like Dr. Martin Luther King did. That's right. You ain't never seen Dr. Martin Luther King with no messy jerry curl on his head. Ain't that right?
Amen.
They ain't come walk around like that. You know, sweet, I met Dr. Martin Luther King once.
And you lying. You ain't never met Dr. Martin Luther King.
Yeah, I met Dr. Martin Luther King in 1962 in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm walking down the street, minding my own business, just walking off, feeling good. I walk around the corner, man woke up, hit me in my chest, right? I fall on the ground, right? And I look up, and Dr. Martin Luther King, I said, Dr. King. He said, oops, I thought you were somebody else.
Oh, man, you lying. You ain't never met Martin Luther the King.
Knocked the wind out of me. Yes, he did.
No, it didn't.
Yes, he did.
No, he did not.
Hey, boy, why are you so worried about how you look anyway?
No, you did not.
That guy was one of Eddie Murphy's pals and ran with him. Yep.
I know. I feel like I want to know who he is, but I don't know.
He did a lot of comedy stuff with Eddie Murphy. And I think been around for a long time. Go ahead.
Well, that's where he gives God. That's where he gives the advice to go through the papa. So mm-hmm. he goes to Mr. McDowell the next day and tries to talk about football.
Right. Did you enjoy the football match?
Yeah. This
son, I'm going to tell you this right now. Stay off the drugs.
Yeah. He's like, yes. Okay.
Okay.
And then Louis Anderson explains how he's very rich
guys get all the checks.
That's right. Daryl is a rich kid living off of his daddy's money.
Mm-hmm.
The Prince of Soul Glow. And then we cut to the music and Patrice dancing in the house, which I love.
I love Patrice. She's
me
hot
too. I love Patrice
dancing crazy, and then that dog. I love that little dog.
Me too.
Because for the rest of the movie, that dog is a huge character.
The dog is us.
Yes, you're right. You're absolutely right. We're the dog. We are the little bitty dog.
That's right. And Lisa gets sent the fancy earrings,
mm-hmm.
$500,000 earrings, and it's from an admirer, not Daryl.
Right.
And so Patrice accuses Lisa of cheating, and she's like, I'm not cheating, you know. And then Patrice's like, I don't care how much a man admires you. He's not going to send you earrings like that unless you're giving him a little bootay.
Not everybody thinks like you, Patrice.
Yes, they do. They just don't admit it.
Can I just say that the actress who is playing, not Patrice, but, you know, the main woman.
Lisa.
That actress was so beautiful that it took me, I think, a month to stop thinking about her back then.
Really?
Not in a creepy way, but she was just so beautiful. And then to watch them, every time I watch the movie, she's just beautiful. Just beautiful.
Really?
Uh-huh. I had a crush on her big time for a long time.
I feel like she's, I mean, she is beautiful, but she doesn't do it for me, really.
Well, she's not sexy like
Patrice. No, and I don't mean it that way. She doesn't strike me, you know?
Maybe it's because I like plain Janes.
That is not a compliment.
I'm not talking about you.
Not me. I'm saying to her.
Or women in general. No, I don't mean that in a bad way. I know. I guess plain Jane is a shitty thing to say. I like people who are more natural looking.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. We see Akeem and Semi. They're wiping down the windows, which I always loved. I loved the way that looked.
Mm-hmm.
That weird. I don't know what that was. It was like a weird, like chalky substance that they were then wiping off with those big sponges.
Mm-hmm.
That always seemed fun to me. I don't know, maybe this is weird just between two of us, but maybe someone listening is like, yeah, me too.
I've cleaned windows at McDonald's. It's not fun.
Well, no, but when you spray it with Windex, that's not fun because it's like streaking and everything. But right. Then I think it would be really fun to cover it with all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And then to wipe it all off seems very satisfying because you get to see the
results. It's very satisfying.
It looks very satisfying. So then they're invited for a double date. I'm sorry, not they, but Akeem is invited for a double date with Lisa, Daryl, and Patrice
mm-hmm.
to go to the St. John's game. Daryl's outfit in this scene is cuckoo crazy bananas.
It's 80s Chess King outfit.
Chess King?
Yeah, you've ever heard of Chess King?
No.
When we get off of this, Google Chess King. It was a store that you would go to in a mall, and they had the worst clothes.
Oh, it's horrible. There's like belts holding up his collar.
Uh-huh.
Weird poncho dangling thing. Yeah. Fringe.
Here, let me read you this real quick from Wikipedia. Chess King was a United States men's clothing retailer created by the Melville Corporation. From its founding in 1968, it grew to over 500 locations by the mid-80s before the eventual decline, sale, and closure in 1995. The clothes were shitty.
Yeah.
And I mean, they look like Daryl's clothes. And I got a pair of plastic zipper. Nylon zipper pants.
Uh-huh.
They were popular for like 10 minutes in 1982.
What does that mean? Like the crotch zipped up?
No. There were zippers all over them. Zippers and pockets and everything. They were nylon, man. And then I had a rubber belt with paint splatters all over it. I mean, total 80s grossness.
Do you remember in European Vacation when they got the money and they went shopping and
they got all that
crazy
shitty clothes. Yeah, it's the same type. Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. That awful Euro influence.
Yeah.
On pop culture.
So then Patrice is hitting on Akeem and she's jerking him off.
Yeah. I wrote that down too. She gave him a hand job and he stands up and goes, "I'll be right back," or something like that.
Yeah. Yes. In the face.
Yes. In the face.
And then it was his favorite part of the thing. It was the halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and Daryl, just more Daryl being a total asshole. Wearing clothes must be a new experience for you.
Yeah, he's a total dick.
Yeah. He's waiting. Akeem is waiting in line to pee, and someone sees him who used to live in Zamunda and is very excited to see him.
Yes.
It is you! Gets a picture with him, but then Lisa and everybody sees that this guy is really into Akeem and they don't understand why. He says, "Just the man I met in the restroom."
Right? That's Vondi Curtis Hall is that actor's name. He's been in an awful lot of stuff. He's on Chicago Hope, ER.
Yeah.
He was most recently in Daredevil on Netflix. And he's in one episode of the Sopranos where he plays a corrupt city, like a corrupt city organizer who uses... Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So then we're back at McDowell's where we're starting now to get to see Akeem and Lisa get to know each other.
Right.
He's quoting Nietzsche to her. He's sort of like revealing who he really is. And she's suspecting, like, why are you so educated when mm-hmm. you're just a student from Africa cleaning the floors? And then here comes Sam Jackson, shoots a motherfucking hole in the ceiling. And then screams over and over, "Come on, stop stalling me. All of it." He says the same things over and over and over.
Yelling at poor
Louis Anderson.
"Hurry up, fat boy!"
Yeah.
Why, Daryl ducks down and hides.
Yeah. "What are you looking at?"
Yeah.
"Stop stalling me!" Hold up. Oh, okay. Then Akeem starts to unscrew
the
mop handle, because in the beginning of the movie, he and Semi do a lot of exposition. Again, they're doing all this exposition. He and Semi doing this like stick fighting, you know, maneuvers.
Right.
They're giving us information. The movie didn't have to do that.
No.
They could have just been walking on their palatial estate with the elephants walking in the background. And he tells Semi, Semi's telling him, like, what are you doing? You should want, you know, a hot, fuckable wife who does whatever you want. But instead, these two had to take, I don't know, fighting classes, lessons, choreography to get that stuff done.
I would think that it was mostly spinning a stick around. You learn how to do it, but then everybody else is a stand-in or a stunt person.
Well, I think those multiple flips in the beginning were definitely Eddie.
Right, but what you're getting at is good storytelling. And
good storytelling.
Good storytelling, unlike, say, Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, well, that is a given.
Yeah.
But even on a smaller scale, movies nowadays, these movies,
they don't tell a story.
They don't.
You're just supposed to suppose that he already knows how.
Exactly. They don't take the time.
Right. Right.
Everything is rushed.
Because you would see now Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall would beat the shit out of him, but you never would have had that scene from earlier in the film that tells you they know what they're doing.
Right.
But that was a great scene.
Yeah. Such a great scene. So, yeah, he comes up to him very calmly. He's like, you know, I'll be forced to thrash you. Who the fuck is this asshole?
Yeah.
So and Semi sees what he's doing too. So he knows, and he helps pick up the gun when, you know, Sam Jackson drops the gun and frees you, disease, right now.
That's pizzle.
Again, more little information for Lisa to see, like, something's going on here.
Right.
Mr. McDowell finds them and he's thanking them. Talks about his African connection.
Mm-hmm.
Invites them to a little get together that he's having at his house, but it turns out they're just the help.
Yeah, that was I got a special job for you guys. Come over to my house and work.
Yeah. So Semi hates it so much. We see more of Semi hating life.
Well, because he's making Semi do the car parking, and Akeem gets to go inside.
Right. Mr. McDowell's house, the decoration in that house, I can't with that.
Well, it's 80s. Everything in that house is 1980s. Awful.
Oh, it's so bad.
Yeah.
It's like
interior decorating, oof. 80s country music, and a lot of things from the 80s are terrible.
I found out that Mrs. McDowell died.
Yeah, but they never say how.
No, we don't know how she died. I was just wondering. Mm-hmm. I never paid attention. We get to see that train on the bar.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to impress Akeem. Like, one day, with, you know, 20, 30 years, you could have a place like this.
That
like,
would be something.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it?
And then just more information about who Daryl is, where he thinks that he has to be aggressive with women and take charge.
Right.
Tell him what to do. And he's like looking Lisa up and down like, what is he going to do? Jesus. We also get to meet Daryl's family, who look lovely.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all soul glowed out. They've got all the Jerry curl in their hair.
And they leave the stain on the couch when they sit up.
That's right. That's when they leave the stain, when they're brought up, because Daryl has a special announcement. Well, not Daryl, but Mr. McDowell has a special announcement that Daryl told him that Lisa said yes when Daryl proposed to him, but proposed to her, but he never did.
He never proposed to her at all.
I think he's like, I'm going to take charge and tell her what to do. I'm just going to say that she said yes to this marriage proposal.
Yep.
So she's pissed. She leaves to go have some time alone to sit on some swings outside, and Akeem comes to find her. We get, again, more talking between those two, more getting to know each other. We go back to their apartment, and Semi doesn't want to work today, and he's like, you have to, you know, we have to be in with Mr. McDowell. We can't make him mad now because I'm getting closer to Lisa. And Semi doesn't care. He doesn't want to do it anymore. So Akeem throws some garbage on the ground. He's like, there, you can clean this up and then come to work. But we find out later what Semi really did, which was like spruce up the apartment and spend all this money and make it look really nice. But we don't find that out till later. Okay.
I wouldn't say nice.
Oh, well, yeah.
It looks ugly. All the colors. Go ahead.
Yeah. 80s nice.
Mm-hmm.
80s rich. How's that?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. We're mopping. Akeem's mopping as usual.
Right.
This is where we get to see Louis Anderson is at the sink. Now, this is where we've watched this movie so many times, we get to pay attention to the weird things where out of nowhere, like Akeem's just mopping the floor. He stops and goes to Louis. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. He just instantly, like a ninja, whoosh, turns around.
Yep.
Hi. You know, I started on cleanup just like you guys, but now I'm washing lettuce. Soon I'll be on fries, then the grill. A year or two, I make assistant manager, and that's where the big bucks come rolling in.
And they zoom right in on his face.
What a stupid scene to keep in, but I'm so glad
they
did.
But it is so funny.
If I were the editor of this movie, like, that's gone.
Yep.
But I'm so glad they didn't do that.
No, I think it's great because it shows Louis Anderson being Louis Anderson.
But what does that do to the move? What does that do to service the plot, the movie? Nothing.
Well, back up a little bit. Akeem is very happy mm-hmm. at this point, and he's being nice to people. So he just walks up and he's on air because remember he was singing.
Yes.
Oh no, singing comes later, right?
That's later. Yeah.
Okay, never mind. But he's trying to be happy and positive and everything, and so that's why he says hello to him. And you know, it's also a thing like you don't engage. Look, if you work in the restaurant industry, mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, you don't engage the dishwasher guy because
sure.
they either talk too much or they're nuts or you know what have you. So
hi.
Yes. Hi.
You know.
And then, all right, keep going because we're getting to the good parts.
Yep. So they get to, so Akeem and Lisa go on a little date. They go, oh, so she says that she'll buy the groceries. And he warns her that his apartment is very poor.
Mm-hmm.
But then when they get to the apartment, Semi's made it really nice. And so he has to go and they can't go into the apartment. So they go out on a date.
He says there was a rat in there.
Yeah, a very big rat. So they're walking to the restaurant. Oh, I'm sorry. Before they go to the restaurant, he sort of punishes Semi.
Oop, it takes his
hold
money.
On, I lost my headphones.
He punishes Semi by taking his money. The
That's
rest
right.
of his cash.
He takes his money. He puts it in a little McDowell's bag. And then when they're walking to the restaurant, he stops and gives his, quote, just some pocket change
mm-hmm.
to some homeless people who are
the
Mortimers.
It was the Dukes. It was the Dukes. It was the Dukes.
Mortimer and the other guy.
You don't remember? Randolph.
Randolph. Sorry.
Mortimer.
Randolph.
Randolph.
I'm still not speaking to you.
Yes.
So Akeem and Lisa are on their fancy date.
Just to go back in time, when you seeing that movie in the theater, that scene, when you saw that, everybody erupted and screamed, and everybody walked out of there thinking, we're going to get another Trading Places. Obviously, that never happened.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But that was the, oh my God, we're going to get another Trading Places.
Well, so, I'm glad they didn't do that.
Yeah, me too.
But that is fun. Mm-hmm. I didn't think about the movie. The moviegoer experience.
It was the biggest surprise in the entire film. I mean, well, other than the other stuff, like the barbershop and everything, but that was fucking huge to see those two guys.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. Because, you know, same.
No, that's cool.
Yep.
Yeah, I love that. So this is the same universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So the Duke thank Akeem through the window. Let's do lunch.
Yeah.
She at least is catching on to Akeem, describes him as regal.
Uh-huh.
Akeem tells her he's a goat herder. Then they start dancing. And this was when I was like, ooh, hello, Akeem. Because he's like, I am not interested in Daryl either. Or whatever.
Yep.
Like,
I am also not interested in Daryl.
Right. I guess it's because it's a little break from his like, hi, I'm Akeem. And he's so happy. We're just like, I'm serious, Akeem, and I will fuck you.
Yes, I will give you my African mambaga.
So then I love this scene too, sending that telegram to that lady who reads it for him.
Yeah.
Saya.
What?
I don't know what she says. I didn't write it down.
Yeah. It's a great scene though. You think that's enough?
Yeah.
Better make it than a million.
Yeah.
No,
why don't we make it a cool million?
He says, you're right, 500,000. And she goes, right. Why not make it a cool million?
I love her.
I do too.
So yes, he's wiring back to
he's
Africa
telling
to
him that
ask
he,
for more money.
Right. He wants more money from the king.
Right. We are in dire straits.
Yes.
So then when he comes back from that, Semi finds Patrice in their apartment looking really nice, looking like a bright pink snack.
Oh.
He has to explain to her what's going on. Mm-hmm. But we find out later that he kind of tricks her. But then we get a cut to Akeem coming home singing, "Someone to kiss, someone to miss."
Shut up!
Yeah, everyone's screaming. Wow, what a feeling!
My favorite part of that song or that scene is that he doesn't react to any of them and he just keeps singing and he does the whole song.
Yeah. he comes to into the apartment and Semi and Patrice are making out. And she's treating Semi super fancy now and Akeem really shitty. "Your secret is safe with me, Your Highness." And then looks him up and down. Bye.
"If you are the prince, what does that make me?"
Yep. My servant.
My servant.
So then we get to see that Dad, Mr. McDowell, does not like Lisa going out with Akeem because he's poor.
Right.
And I love this scene because I never really thought about it before, but I think this is the first time I watched it and really paid attention to John Amos. Wait.
John Amos is the best actor in the whole film.
Yes, John Amos. Yeah.
Because he's a real classically
trained
actor.
That I was saying Amos, that other guy from Full House.
John, no.
Stamos.
Yeah, that's Stamos. No, really John Amos is a very good actor. He's a trained classical actor. He does the facial expressions right, because a lot of times in acting, you see this, and I'm seeing it more and more now, so that's why I'm bringing it up.
Mm-hmm.
The facial, you see that from him. You see that from Frankie Faison. You don't see it from Eddie Murphy. You don't see it from Arsenio Hall.
Interesting.
You see it from James Earl Jones, which, by the way, let me backtrack, is probably the best actor in the whole film. But you get my point. John Amos is an amazing actor, good character actor, good times when he was the dad. He looked to be 60 years old then. Turns out he wasn't, because he's young. Die Hard 2, he's amazing in that. And also
Roots.
Beastmaster. Roots. Well, yeah, shit. God.
Yeah.
Damn. Anyway, go ahead.
He says to her, "Lisa, I just don't want you to struggle like your mother and I did," which is so sweet. And just I just believe it. And again, these movies don't have to have this good of an actor.
No. And they don't have to have those scenes. But again, storytelling.
Storytelling. Landlord comes in to Akeem and Semi's apartment because they want to switch apartments.
No, he comes in for some other reason. What the hell did you do in here?
Uh-huh.
What'd you do to my apartment?
That's right. And he thinks that it might be stolen, I guess.
Yeah, is this stuff hot? No.
So they want to switch. And he says, "Yeah, it's a real shithole. You boys will love it."
Yep.
Let's see. Oh, and Akeem's really excited. So he goes out when he's leaving and he tells those two kids sitting on the stoop that he's, "I'm going on a date with Lisa."
And they just stare at him.
They just stare at him. He just keeps walking.
Yeesh.
But uh-oh, here come the king and queen. Because we see the rose bearers, Ohan, and even that lady who like tastes their food. She's there with them.
Yep. Lady in waiting.
That's right. They go into the barber shop.
Hey, and who's going to clean up all these flowers?
That's right. They're asking for Akeem. And he's like, "Oh, Gunta, the kid upstairs, Gunta."
Oh, yeah. He live up there on the sixth floor.
He's out there somewhere.
Yes.
They ask where he works. He's like, "My son works."
I love that. I don't know why it's so incredulous, but I guess because they're wealthy. Royalty.
Well, yeah, and he's royalty. Yeah, right. He's working some menial job.
Yes.
They wouldn't even let him wipe his butt in the beginning of this movie.
No, I would
want
to wipe.
Do you think that there was a learning curve when they got to Queens?
Yeah, well, obviously, he had to learn how to wipe his ass.
Do you think Semi was wiping his ass?
I would teach you. No, I don't think so. I think it's innate.
Okay. I'm trying to see where we are. Let's
Semi
see.
Screams when he opens the door.
Oh, yeah, because the king and queen and everybody come to the door, and Semi just opens his door unsuspecting and screams in their face. But now they find out what's been going on. Semi explains, and now Semi must be punished by confining himself to their royal suite at the Waldorf Astoria and bathed thoroughly.
And bathed thoroughly.
That's right. And the flower bearer accepts it, but then looks up semi up and down like,
mm-hmm. Well, you know,
get to wash that penis.
The rumor about Arsenio Hall is that he has a third leg. So,
oh, is that right?
Yeah. And there's a line in the movie Bullworth where one of the ladies says to somebody else, I hear Arsenio Jimmy is like a baby holding an apple.
Oh. All right, Arsenio. That's where he's got all that confidence from.
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm so weak. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
So, Keem and Lisa are at the museum. They're walking around some Zamunda artifacts and things. And then it's their family portrait, like their royal family portrait on the wall. So he has to hide her from that. We get to see Dad, Mr. McDowell, inviting Daryl to the house on his hamburger phone.
Mm-hmm.
while he's reading the McDonald's operations manual. And in walk the king and queen. I'm sorry, he meets them out in the lobby.
Right.
The king and queen looking for Akeem. He sees that he's on that Akeem is on the money.
Right.
From Zamunda.
He's got his own money. I mean, he really got his own money.
So Akeem and Lisa are back at their apartment and see the flower petals on the ground, so they have to run away.
She's horny, by the way.
Oh, yeah. She's like, but I want to.
Yeah, she's looking for some.
She wants to fuck. That's what I wrote in my notes.
Oh, yeah.
But he can't let her in.
Right.
Because he's worried, I guess, that his parents are there. So they go back to her house. And now, you know, Mr. McDowell's acting crazy because he's so excited to see Akeem. And Lisa's very confused.
Right.
And then I wrote this down. Now we have some kind of weird French farce going on where they're waiting in the living room. He's running to the door to go get Daryl and to keep Daryl away. They keep cutting back to the dog.
Well, this is where the dog is so important.
Yeah, this is the audience like, hey, look at what's going on. Look back and forth at all these different things going on.
Right.
So then he sicks the dog on Daryl because they need him to go away. And Akeem's trying to leave the whole time. He finally gets out of there, and the dad explains to Lisa who Akeem really is and that he's super rich. So Akeem heads off to the Waldorf Astoria. And I was wondering about how long it took to get everywhere. Like, how far is Queens from the Waldorf Astoria?
Well, I don't know where the Waldorf Astoria is.
Yeah, I don't either. I was trying to look this up, but then I got caught into like how much it is, and I was watching videos of the royal suite and what it looked like.
All right. Queens, New York, Waldorf Astoria. You can keep talking.
And then, I was looking at the reviews for the Waldorf Astoria, and people said like it was very nice, but it was really dated. And then when I looked to see like how much it costs to stay there a night, especially in the royal suite, they said that they weren't giving any quotes out because they were doing renovations. And I was wondering if it was because it was really dated.
Queens is shit right across the river. Yeah, it's right across the river. So Queens is right there. Because you have Long Island City and Astoria and Jackson Heights.
Right.
So in Middle Village. And we took a picture of the Waldorf, of myself in front of the Waldorf Astoria that I still have.
Really?
Yep. We were all over that bitch.
Oh, dude, we were all over that baby.
Shit. So, does it keep going?
I was looking to see how anyway, he's having to get around the city. He goes all up and down, all crazy, back and forth around the city. So he's back at the Waldorf Astoria. I think he sees. Let's see.
Semi.
He does see Semi?
Yeah.
Two signs on Lisa's door being upset. Oh, that's right. Okay. So he talks to Semi. What does he say? I forget,
but we're at the point where the king and queen show up at the house.
That's right. And the dad and the king wants to talk to Lisa privately.
Right. And he goes up and, you know, pretty much treats her like shit and says that she's just a slam piece to Akeem.
Yes.
And
So his royal oats.
All he's just lying, of course.
Right.
And then tries to give money to Mr. McDowell to pay him off for his trouble. And
$2 million.
And we see him turn. We see a good turn, you know, because he sees his daughter's upset. So he's like, all right, you know what? I know you're rich and everything, but fuck you. My daughter's heart is way more important than my wallet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's weird, too, because we're supposed to still like. Are we just supposed, as I was going to say, we're supposed to still like the king when the king is doing something pretty despicable.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the queen really redeems it later by calling him a jerk for doing what he did.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Also, maybe we're just supposed to say, like, he doesn't know any better because he's so royal.
Right.
Okay. Everyone's finding out everything. Patrice finds out that Akeem's not the real prince.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa knows everything now. And now Akeem is out looking for Lisa. Lisa's run out, has run away from the house in her, like, velvet jacket. She doesn't even have, like, a good rain jacket. Her, like, weird jacket's all, like, brown and strange. Okay.
So, and Patrice Daryl ends up in Patrice's room and she says, we have to get you out of these clothes. Eric LaSalle looks at the camera.
Yay! Another one.
Yes.
So, Elisa and Akeem are running into the subway. They show Akeem jumping over the turnstiles and then also opening the closing train door.
You used to be able to open them.
Well, I just thought it was a weird thing to do. Do you think that was some weird, I'm Eddie Murphy, I've lived in New York, I know how this works, and I'm cool? Or was it a...
Well, he wouldn't have had any change, or he wouldn't have had a subway token.
No, he wouldn't, but I'm saying the fact that he did all those things, like, they could have just had him get through it. They didn't have to show him jumping the turnstile and opening the train car door.
I think they wanted to show him as athletic. And prowess.
Maybe that, or maybe if we want to give them more credit, maybe than they deserve, or maybe they do deserve because they've done such a good job so far. Maybe it's that, look at Akeem. He's a real New Yorker now. He's not confused.
He knows
about
what to do. He knows how to get on the train. Yeah.
Okay. So, they're talking in the train car. He's trying to convince her that he loves her because of who she is, and it doesn't matter whether he's rich or poor or she's rich or not rich, whatever. She takes off she's wearing those earrings, those $500,000 earrings. She pulls them off her ears. She doesn't, like, take them off. She, like, snaps them off her ears. Are those clip-ons?
They must be.
That doesn't make sense. There are no $500,000 clip-on earrings. So he says that he'd renounce his throne. He proposes to her. Everyone in the train car is watching. We get to, again, okay, so the people in the train car are us. We're watching.
Mm-hmm.
He proposes to her. She doesn't know what to do. She doesn't want to do it. One of the ladies on the car says, go on, honey.
Yeah,
take
I love
a
that
chance.
Lady. Yeah, go on, honey.
She says she can't do it. She runs away. And then an old lady, as he's getting off the train, stops her, is like, if she won't marry, what did she say? Like, I'll marry you.
If she won't marry.
Oh, no, she said, if you're really a prince, I'll marry you. And then he gives her the earrings and she smiles at him real big. I really like that lady. I hope that she's like someone's grandma.
Right.
And then it's really just getting us back to Zamunda. Everyone's leaving. We get to see the queen sort of give shit to the king saying, you were a real dick. What you did back there was not cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Akeem's getting married. It's happening. We see a bride coming down and in a big pink, sparkly sweetheart neckline, 80s looking horrible wedding dress.
Right.
And yay, it's Lisa. And here comes Mr. McDowell. He comes up and stands up next to the king. Everyone's very excited.
And then the big party.
And then the big party.
Oh, he starts kissing her before.
Oh, that's right. That's
yeah,
right.
And Oha, is that his name? Oha has to start. Uh-huh. It's not time.
Maybe it's Ohan. I don't
Ohan.
Know.
Ohan. It's not time.
Yeah. We're not to that pot yet.
And then the movie ends.
Yay. And then he's like, oh, she says, would you really have?
Yeah, yeah. He goes.
What does she say? You really
do you want me to? Nah.
That's so weird.
Nah.
So, thoughts on the movie. It's one of those movies, I'll just say mine and you say yours.
Yeah.
It's one of those enduring films from the 1980s, especially if you're Gen X and you grew up on Saturday Night Live and you love Eddie Murphy and all the stuff that he did. It's an iconic film that you can watch over and over again, I think, and not get sick of, you know, keep it normal. But it's quotable, it's memorable, and it is well done.
I wonder if it says something about the Generation X and maybe the Zennial generation,
mm-hmm.
that our senses of humor, maybe it influences that.
Yeah.
In a way, because just like what we talked about, this movie takes its time.
Yes.
It does things intentionally. It has humor in it that is irreverent and silly, but also appropriate.
Right.
Like, not just silly to be silly, but, you know, for a reason.
There's a point
and
to it.
There's a point. And maybe that means something for who a generation is.
Yeah, I think so. I see exactly what you're saying. And I don't know. I think that this movie, and I lost my place. I feel like a moron.
No,
what I was
going to
say, but my
too.
I'm tired also. But
it's interwoven into who we are.
We
because,
are. Yes.
Yeah, because it is such a. When I was watching it, it was weird for me to watch it, like to intentionally sit down and watch it, because it would always just be on and you just watch it. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah, but to
it
sit
was
down
weird to actually pay attention. It's like I never. It's like I was born with it.
Yeah, and I, and again, to not want to watch it in a way that you haven't watched it in, for me, 30 years.
Yeah, yeah.
So, well, great. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think so too. I hope everybody likes it, and I want to thank everybody for your donations and choosing to be a part of our first movie club. I hope you'll stick around for the next one.
Yes, and the second one will come out in the end of the month. We're going to do two this month because Super Bowl kind of get us off track a little bit. What is the next film we are going to do?
Did we say?
We say Clue, wasn't it? Or was
Clue.
It
Clue?
Was it Clue?
I don't know. Let's do Clue next.
All right. Well, guess what? I haven't seen Clue since it came out.
No way.
Yes way.
So, are we going to do the all three endings? Or are we going to maybe do a Russian roulette of which ending to
begin? Are there three endings?
Yes.
To Clue?
Damn.
Oh, my goodness. You're going to have to school me.
Okay.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening to Radio Labyrinth's Movie Club and being a member. Taking your suggestions now. If you are a patron, just post right there on our page. We will talk to you very, very soon.
Keep it canon.
Bye. Yeah, keep it canon. Bye.